I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Thursday. It's Thursday. The week is already almost over. It has flown by. We have all kinds of system talk to talk about tonight, an email talk. You're not going to believe what's happening at the NSA. Quote, random attacks on 85-year-old men. There's so much to get to tonight. I want to make sure I remind you of this. Tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, all 3 hours, ask me anything. Get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now let's begin on something. I know everyone's been talking today about what happened at the DNC headquarters last night. Maybe you just woke up. Man, you really slept in. But maybe you just woke up and you want to know what's happening. Okay, so a bunch of little animals, a bunch of street communists, pro-Hamas types, got really mad because Democrats aren't killing enough Jews. And they gathered in front of the DNC and it got really violent. I guess like 6 cops got hurt. Here's one of the street scum. My goodness, that voice. Could you just imagine? I want you to imagine something. Imagine, I'm going to start it over again. Imagine getting married to that. And you wake up in the morning and you're rubbing the sleep out of your eyes and you roll over and this is what you hear.
We're outside the DNC. We're outside the Democratic Party headquarters because this party claims to be on the side of life and peace and equality. And we're saying that we want them to live up to their values and oppose this horrific war and call for a ceasefire now. And we're being
okay, so, all right, enough. It's another liberal white woman. You know what they are. The most evil, violent creatures on the planet. Okay, so set that aside. So that happened last night. I want to pause on that. Let's do a little history, shall we? But actually not ancient history at all. This is very recent history. Sorry to burst your bubble there, but this is very, very recent history. It's a story that came and went, and of course we talked about it on the show, but I didn't spend a week on it. Right, I don't spend a week on anything. You didn't spend a week on it. You listened to the show, you heard about it, and we moved on. But there are these stories. Here's what we have. Here's our situation in this society. As a late-stage corrupt republic, every day there's a new story about how horrible things are or a horrible thing that happened here or a horrible thing something did here. And what happens is you and me, we get almost desensitized to it. I don't want to say we stop being mad about this or sad about that, but we will miss huge stories because there's another one the next day and then another one the next day after that and then another one the next day after that. It's just, it happens to us. It's perfectly natural. It's not like you're wrong or I'm wrong, but let's take a little walk back 2 years ago. You remember Project Veritas, right? They're an investigative journalist group. That's who they are. It used to be run by James O'Keefe. I guess they had a really ugly separation. He's no longer there. Project Veritas is still around. I don't care about any of that. I'm not getting none of that matters for our purposes. We've played multiple bits of their audio here on the show and James O'Keefe's audio since he left. But Project Veritas audio, what kind of audio have you heard from them? Well, you remember that famous piece we played for you where the FDA official sat down and simply explained that the FDA is just bribed by food and drug companies to approve whatever they want to approve. That was Project Veritas. Okay, so that's the group. Now, stay with me. This is going to come back to what happened at the DNC. All right, just stay with me. So here's what happened. Joe Biden, president of the United States of America, he has a daughter. forget about the other kids for our time being, for our purposes here. His daughter, her name is Ashley Biden. Ashley Biden was renting a home. She ended up moving out of that home and left some personal belongings behind. Now, I'm not getting into the rules or the laws because none of that stuff matters for our purpose. What matters is one of the things she left behind was a diary. A diary from her childhood. So this is a diary she's kept from her childhood. In this diary, Ashley Biden, look, this was all alleged at the time. We have since had it confirmed by her. But in the diary, she describes some really evil, gross conduct with Joe and her. Talks about, in the diary, this is not me, I know this is gross, I'm going to get right through it. Talks about how she's afraid Joe Biden's going to come into the shower with her again. I know I'm grossed out, you're grossed out. Ugh, I get it. Okay, but that's what was in the diary. Like, that's what was in there. Okay, so what happened? Well, the homeowner, somebody got a hold of the diary, thought it might be of interest to Project Veritas. They reached out to Project Veritas. Project Veritas expressed interest in the diary. Project Veritas ended up not being able to confirm it at the time. Remember, it's since been confirmed, but they could not confirm it at the time. All right, so okay, well, all right, so you get where we're at right now. But someone in the system found out that Project Veritas had possession of a diary that made the President of the United States of America look pretty bad, to put it mildly, right? The response was James O'Keefe, who was with Project Veritas at the time, had the FBI kick in his door in the early dawn hours, and he found himself in his underwear in his home, handcuffed while the FBI trashed his home like a bunch of rabid wolverines. Now, let's pause on this for a moment, because maybe you're sitting there right now and you're saying, okay, I don't, who cares, Jesse, this was 2 years ago. Okay, that's a big deal, I guess, kind of, but stay with me here. Do you understand what that means? Just before we go on, because this is going to apply to these DC protests, it's going to apply to what they're doing to former Marine, current Marines, there's no such thing as an ex-Marine, Daniel Penny in New York City being charged. This applies to so much of what we see here. Do you understand what that means? Do you understand what it means to live in a country where the President of the United States of America can find out that a journalist organization has possession of something that makes him look bad, and he has the power and an FBI willing to go kick in the door, trash them, arrest them, and later on a couple people ended up pleading guilty in federal court to felonies. Wrap your mind around what that means. We talk a lot about secret state police agencies. You know, we call the FBI the Cheka. But here's the thing. A lot of people, when you bring this stuff up, they get under the impression that this is a future for us. This is something that's going to happen in the future. Maybe even the near future. Maybe in a little bit further away. Sure, 5, 10 years. It's going to get really bad. It's already really bad. Right now, it's really bad. A fat old man in Utah put up a bunch of really stupid, frankly, criminal posts threatening Joe Biden. The FBI didn't arrest him while he was at the grocery store or walking his dog with his cane that he needed to get around. They kicked in his door in the dark and gunned him down like a dog, because he threatened Joe Biden. This is the country you live in now. Not a country you live in next year. Not 5 years from now. Not 10 years from now. This is a country you live in now. I want you to listen to this. This is a little long. This is Representative Clay Higgins interrogating FBI Director Christopher Wray.
You know what a ghost vehicle is? Director of the FBI certainly should. You know what a ghost bus is?
A ghost bus?
Ghost bus.
I'm not sure I've used that term before.
Okay. Well, it's pretty common in law enforcement. It's a vehicle that's used for secret purposes. It's painted over. These two buses in the middle here, they were the first to arrive at Union Station on January 6th, 0500. I have all this evidence. I'm showing you a tip of this iceberg.
Mr. Chairman.
These two buses
were
painted completely white.
Point of order.
Point of order. Sure.
Just run over the time.
I understand, but you'll recall that Ms. Jackson Lee's been allowed to go 2 minutes before. I've been very fair in letting people finish their questioning throughout my tenure as chairman, and I'll continue to be fair on that regard. But I will make a note to the members, if you could stay as close within your time as possible, we have a lot of people that want to ask these gentlemen questions. But your point, I've been very fair in this, Mr. Ivey, with everybody on this side of the aisle just as much.
I don't think I accuse you of being unfair, Mr. Chairman.
You're making a point. Okay. Thank you.
I just want to pause real quick because I'm going to let them finish here in just a moment. Right when they were asking the FBI director why ghost buses showed up before everyone else did on January 6th, a Democrat leapt from his seat and tried to stop the questioning. That's not all. I have more. Just hang on. We'll finish that up in a moment. Before we get to that, let's do this. We talk a lot about, hey, get gold, get silver, get this, get it in your retirement, get it in your physical possession. I want to explain something to you. You can get a free investment guide from Oxford Gold Group. They give out investment guides free. Also, right now, with a purchase of precious metals, you can earn up to $2,500 in free gold right now. I have been encouraging you relentlessly, and frankly, I always will, to get some precious metals in your physical possession. Now's the time. Look, they're giving out free gold, free investment guides. Oxford Gold Group, now's the time. Go to jessekellygold.com. That's where you get your free guide. That's where you can earn your free gold, gold coins in your physical possession, or silver coins. Get it in your IRA. Get it in your 401k. jessekellygold.com. Go now.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. And just in case you were worried we were going to be all down tonight, I actually have somebody coming on in 10 minutes from now. Going to talk about normal people winning local elections. Someone who's done it, just got done doing it. Somebody who might inspire you to move and win. Move and win. Become an activist. All right, but I'm just going to continue. I'm going somewhere with this. This is about all those anti-Israel, pro-Hamas protests in front of DNC. We already talked about what they did to Project Veritas, the Joe Biden's diary. I'm going to continue. This was Representative Clay Higgins interrogating Christopher Wray. I'm not going to replay the whole thing. He already asked about ghost buses showing up first thing on the morning of January 6th. Anyway.
I now recognize Mr.
May I close this statement, Mr.
No,
Chairman?
I think your time is expired, Mr.
I note that other members across the aisle have been granted time, and I object to my question being closed. This is a very significant hearing, Mr. Chairman. These buses are nefarious in nature and were filled with FBI informants dressed as Trump supporters. And deployed onto our Capitol on January 6th. Your day is coming, Mr. Wray.
Buses full of FBI informants dressed up like Trump supporters were the first ones on the ground on January 6th. Now, we just did that whole thing where we talked about the FBI putting James O'Keefe in handcuffs for possessing allegedly Ashley Biden's diary. The same FBI on the ground on January 6th. Okay, no, that's a couple things. Let's get to this one here. It's going to sound separate. It's not. The headline is ex-Marine Daniel Penny should have known chokehold would kill Jordan Neely because of military training and warnings, according to prosecutors. You may remember Devil Dog Daniel Penny stepped in to help a woman on the New York City subway, put this drugged out nutcase in a chokehold. The guy ends up dying. He's facing prison time. New York State prison time. Okay, one more thing. I'm just going to play one more thing, and then we're going to get to my actual point. Mark Zuckerberg runs the largest social media company in the world, Facebook. You've heard this before many times on the show. Just listen again, please. Before the Hunter Biden laptop story was published in the New York Post, the FBI went to Mark Zuckerberg and warned him the story was coming and told him it was Russian disinformation and told him to censor the story. Listen to this.
How do you guys handle things when they're a big news item that's controversial? Like, there was a lot of attention on Twitter during the election because of the Hunter Biden laptop story, the New York Post.
Yeah, we had that too.
Yeah, so you guys censored that as well?
So we took a different path than Twitter. I mean, basically, the background here is the FBI, I think, basically came to us, some folks on our team, and was like, hey, just so you know, like, you should be on high alert. There was we thought that there was a lot of Russian propaganda in the 2016 election. We have it on notice that basically there's about to be some kind of dump that's similar to that. So just be vigilant. So our protocol is different from Twitter's. What Twitter did is
they went on to censor the story. Twitter did more than censor the story. They suspended the account of anybody who shared the story and actually suspended the account of the New York Post, one of the oldest, most prestigious media outlets in the United States of America, because the New York Post shared a story that made Hunter Biden and Joe Biden look bad. And the FBI, they were the ones who approached these social media companies and told them to do it. Now, what does any of this have to do with the anti-Israel protests in front of the DNC? Well, here's what it has to do with it. Power. What is real power? I mean, lasting power. Power that really makes a difference and matters. Well, who holds it? The elite communist scum or the street communist scum? I want to be clear. I'm not dismissing the power the street communist scum have. They no doubt have the power to surround you, swarm you, hurt you, kill your family, burn your house down. There's no question street communist scum have the power and the ability to do that. And as it means for you personally, that's obviously a lot of power. But people don't understand what real power is and who actually holds it. Who holds the real power in your society is the people who control the justice system. The justice system is what actually matters. Control of the justice system. That's real power, because you not only have the guns, you have the law. All of it in your corner. The street communists in this country are in for a rude awakening. Maybe not this year, but it's coming. All right, we're going to talk to someone who won a local election next, and then I'm going to get back to that. I have more I want to say about it before we do emails and many other things. Let us make sure we have the energy and the focus for the times that are coming. You need it. I need it. All of us need it. Now, let's talk about our water. You understand how much estrogen is in your water? And why is that? Let's just clarify this. There's estrogens in our water because of how many women are on birth control. The water filtration system, when they treat the wastewater, it'll filter out all the yuckies and the germs and everything else, but the estrogen remains. Testosterone levels are in free fall because you drink estrogen. It's in the plastic. It's in the water. You shower in it. Women do. Men do. Everyone does. Get on some natural herbal supplements. Male vitality stack or a female vitality stack from Chalk. Get some chocolate powder flowing through your veins and get this stuff done while there's Black Friday sales, man. Black Friday's now at Chalk. C-H-O-Q, Jessicakelly.com. Promo code Jesse gets you 35% off any subscription for life. Take advantage of all the Black Friday sales. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. I can't believe, did Matt pick this song, Chris? Respect. Already respect for this guy. All right, we talk a lot about legal and local. Legal and local. All right, you know the FBI sucks. Federal government sucks. It's evil, all those things. Oh, fine. But your community, your state, can be preserved if you become an activist. So what does that look like? I don't know. Let's talk to somebody who's actually done it. Joining me now, Matt Bechtel is his name, from Fremont, Nebraska, the youngest elected official in Nebraska state history. Matt, what did you do?
Well, first of all, Jesse, I got to say, you are my favorite radio host. If I would have went to your book tour, it would have been like Borat meeting Pamela Anderson. So I'm just tickled pink to be here.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah, so I guess with my case, it's really the case of the duality of man. When I was in high school, all I wanted to do was be a lead singer of a rock band and party. But at the same time, I would go to city council meetings, and I went to grassroots conservative meetings and had stayed plugged in locally. And so to make a long story short, when I was 18, I basically became a born-again Christian, and people saw that I was kind of involved with stuff in the community. They thought I was well-spoken, and people started to ask me to run for city council. So at the age of 19, I ran for city council, lost by 48 votes, ran again next election, and I got elected when I was 22 years old.
22 years old. I just want everyone to just marinate on that for a moment. Every person who's made, put yourself down when you think about getting involved. I can't do that. I'm just a housewife. I'm just a construction worker. I'm just a dad. I'm just a this. I'm just a that. Tell me about all the election experience you had before you started running, Matt.
None.
Okay. And since you've been elected, I really want to focus on this part briefly. Since you've been elected, and be honest, in full disclosure, Matt will back this up. We have not spoken beforehand. He sent an email and we scheduled him. Matt,
true.
Since you've been elected, have you been blown away at how much more advanced the other city councilmen are than you are? Do you feel like you're the dumb one in the group, Matt?
Not at all.
Yeah, not at all, huh? Explain what it takes for a normal person to run, Matt. Okay, a normal person might be listening right now, fired up. They want to make a difference. But normal people don't even know step one. What was Matt's step one?
Step one for me was I went and I just hit door to door. I just went and I knocked on doors. I knocked on as many doors as I could, which there's a better approach to that. But I just went to as many doors as I could. And I printed out a newspaper article about me. That was the only handout I had at first. And I would just knock on a door and say, hey, do you have any questions for me? And I would give that to them. On the election that I won, what I did was I just targeted, Republican voters or independent voters, and I was a little bit more targeted that way. But really, if you just start knocking on doors, that's step one.
Matt, how were you treated when you, I realize how Democrats probably treated you, but when you started knocking on Republican doors or independent doors, was it a horrific experience? Did you get tomatoes thrown at your face all day long? Or were people pretty friendly and accommodating for the most part?
People were pretty friendly and accommodating for the most part. I can only remember one time where a guy just shook his head and shut the door on me. And Jesse, I'll tell you this. What was hilarious was the Democrats assumed that I was this really progressive Bernie Sanders liberal because I was so young. And I just bit my tongue and just smiled and said, okay, when they would tell me that they were voting for me. just because of my age, which even then I thought was the dumbest reason to vote for somebody.
Speaking with Matt Bechtel, an activist from Nebraska. All right, Matt, I'm gonna let you go in a second, but I really do. I want anyone out there who's considering this. Maybe you've been thinking about it. Maybe you've been praying about it. I want them maybe to go pick up a little book. It's my understanding, Matt, that you wrote essentially a little handbook, like a 97-page, very simple handbook to help people. Do I have that right?
Yep, it's called How to Win Your Local Election, and I wrote it for all the Frito Banditos out there who are thinking about running. It would take you an hour or two to read. Yeah, I break it down step by step, so you don't have to be too brilliant to read it. You just have to not be evil to run for a local office. That's all I ask.
Yeah, you don't have to have this gigantic intellect like I do, Chris. You can be a normal person. Like even Chris can understand this. How to win your local election, Matt? Where do people get it? Can they get it where?
Oh, just go on Amazon. How to Win Your Local Election on Amazon, and you can pick up a copy.
How to Win Your Local Election, Matt? I appreciate you very much, my man. Way to go! Be the hands and feet. I appreciate you. That is how it's done. Look, we're going to move back to some other things. But remember, all is not lost. Just because the federal government is a stinky, disgusting, rotted corpse and it's really evil, that does not mean everything is lost. Huge pockets of this nation can and will be preserved if good people start fighting back. Part of the reason the communist has been so successful at every level is good people didn't realize what was happening, and good people were so busy living their lives. You know, we have jobs, families, we have lives. We're so busy living our lives that we allowed the street animals like this to take over everything.
We're outside the DNC. We're outside the Democratic Party headquarters because this party claims to be on the side of life.
Let me ask you something, Chris. I want you to be honest with me. Don't puff up your own inner strength either. I want to ask you something. Let's say you're captured by the enemy. You're Jewish. Let's say Hamas gets a hold of you. That probably wouldn't go well. But they've got you tied up, and they're trying to get some critical, special Jewish information out of you that I'm sure you have. What, Chris? I don't know. I don't want to know all your secrets. Anyway, how long would they have to play this woman's voice on a loop before you would break and start talking?
And live up to their values and oppose this horrific war.
Half hour? That's impressive. Honestly, you think a half hour. I don't know that I could do it. I had 30 seconds, maybe? All right, not more. All right, more than 30 seconds. I forgot. I've had Marine training. A lot longer than Chris. I'll go 31 minutes.
Call for a ceasefire now. If we're being responded to by the police shoving
shut up. Anyway, we allow these little street animals to take everything over, but we can take it back. Our local communities, I mean, legal and local, our states, our local governments. That's a 22-year-old man. At 19, he ran. And the reason I wanted him to come on is I know how you feel. People who aren't as arrogant as I was when I ran for Congress out of the blue, people who aren't as arrogant as I was, thankfully, I'm so humble now, they don't think they're qualified. You think that even if you hate your local government or your state government, your state rep or state senator or whatever it may be, you think that you can't do it. Or they'll do this. Well, Jesse, I can't do any good. I'm in New York. Move to Long Island. They just took over Long Island. Move and become an activist. You can do it. You can. Normal people are what we need. What we don't need are the vile scum. All right, now we're going to get back to the vile scum in a moment, because I'm not quite done on that. I have just one more little thing I want to play you about them controlling the legal system, because that is real power. Like we were talking about, like everyone in the country is outraged about what's happening to Daniel Penny. United States Marine stood up for a woman, did the right thing, put a dude in a chokehold, piece of trash, ends up dying, ends up being charged with manslaughter. So how does this happen? How can this possibly happen? Well, the street scum took over the legal system. Now that they control the legal system, the law is whatever they say it is. You know, we hold up these laws and constitution all the time, but if the judge doesn't agree with the law and the jury doesn't agree with the law and the prosecutors don't agree with the law, then there's no law. The law is just a piece of paper in the end, after all, is it not? All right, so I have one more thing I'm going to play you, then we're going to move off to all this stuff and get to some emails and Thanksgiving talk and other things. And, oh, I have one more thing. Speaking of New York, I have one more thing about criminality and random. We'll talk about that. Before we do that, let's do this. The highest abortion areas in the country, places like Baltimore, New York, places like that, those are the places where people need to hear the truth about what an abortion is. And it's also, there are also places where people need help. It's not enough just to tell this woman who's about to have an abortion, hey, that baby's alive. You have to show it to her through ultrasound. And then very likely she will need help. She might need formula. She might need diapers. She might need hidden from an abusive spouse or significant other. You know that preborn, they don't just give out a free ultrasound and then dump them on the side of the road. Preborn is out there making sure the baby and the mother have opportunities. That's where your money goes when you give to preborn. $28 buys that ultrasound. Consider $28 tonight to preborn, all right? Preborn.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. Remember, tomorrow, all 3 hours are dedicated to you. Ask me anything. Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com, because it's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Now, these anti-Israel, pro-Hamas protesters in front of the DNC, their days are numbered. And I've given out this message before, but I just want to give it again real quick. You Democrat street animals, you communist street animals, I know life's been good, right? Kill, rape, murder, do whatever you want as long as you're doing it to I know life's been good. You're living high on the hog like every animal does. But you should understand that communists are not Republicans. Republicans, well, they'll pat you on the head, talk about how misguided you are, act as if you're just kind of a little naive, and, well, I mean, maybe with some help, communists are not going to be quite as gentle with you, all right? Now, let's talk about power, because this is where we're going, because people don't know that power lies with the elite communist scum, not the street communist scum. Yes, they work with each other, and they help each other. But it's the elite communist scum, the ones who control the judges and the FBI and the juries, that's who holds the real power. I want you to listen to this. This is Senator Kennedy of Louisiana. He's questioning a judicial nominee. Sarah Hill is her name. People are listening to this, and they're dumbfounded by how, quote, stupid she is. But they're taking all the wrong lessons from this.
The difference between a stay order and an injunction.
A stay order would prohibit, an injunction would restrain the parties from taking action. A stay order, I'm not sure that I actually can give you the...
Okay.
That.
Everybody's laughing at that idiot today, saying, oh my gosh, a first-year law student can answer that question. Why can't she? You don't understand. They're not teaching law at law school. They're teaching at law school that you are an evil Nazi antichrist. That woman may not know anything about the law, and she doesn't. But that woman who will be a federal judge, maybe presiding over your case one day, what she does know without the slightest doubt in her mind is that you are evil and you should be hurt, imprisoned, or killed. I guarantee if you hooked her up to a lie detector test and showed her your Facebook page, she could rattle off a million reasons why you should be in a cage the rest of your life. That is why the elite communist scum hold the actual power. And that is why eventually, it won't be tomorrow, but eventually all these street communist scum, they've been living high on the hog. Ah, kill these Trump supporters. Ah, I'm going to be a rabid animal here, a rabid animal there. They have no idea what's coming. Because under Republicans, I remember like it was yesterday, Brett Kavanaugh, it was touch and go whether or not he was going to get confirmed. And Republicans started to falter, and we almost lost Brett Kavanaugh. Why? Because Jeff Flake got pinned down in an elevator by some rabid communist harpy who was screaming in his face, and Jeff Flake sat there and almost soiled his granny panties because someone was raising her voice at him. And now the street communist scum in this country, because of things like that, they're so used to being the aggressor, and they're so used to being just these nasty little rabid dogs who can do and say whatever they want, but that's because they're used to doing those things to Republicans. Democrats don't play those games, boys. Go ahead. Go ahead, street communist scum. Not quite yet, but I'd say a couple years, maybe even a year once they finish wrapping up the 2024 election, as they will. Go ahead and try to pin down, let's say, Nancy Pelosi in an elevator like that. Go ahead and start screaming in Grandma Vodka's face. Let me know how that turns out for you. If you'd like to know how that turns out for you, maybe you should check in with New York Mayor Eric Adams, who was the belle of the ball right up until the point he got a little too uppity with Joe Biden and the FBI showed up and took his phone away and arrested his people. Real power. It's not the mob that can surround and murder somebody. Real power lies in who controls the justice system and the military. You know, we talk a lot about the Cultural Revolution in China on this show, where Mao, he got his own street communist scum, all young people, he got his street communist scum in his country to go torture and murder a bunch of his political enemies. And man alive, this took place over a number of years. And wow, did they have a good time. Just murdering and torture and murdering and torture. And life was good. Woo, I love communism. And then the second Mao looked around and saw that, wow, I do have all my power. Hold on. All my political enemies are dead. And now I have my power? Do you know what Mao did? He sent the Red Army in and his Red Guard, those Cultural Revolution kids, were promptly taken out to the countryside and shot in the face and thrown into ditches. Real power does not lie with the street communists. They'll kill you. The elite communists will kill your entire country. And that is the country we live in now. That's why you wake up every single day to a new horror from our justice system. You see Fannie Willis out of, this is the Trump DA in Atlanta, flat out came out and said Trump's Georgia case, his RICO case, she might drag it on through the 2024 election to ensure that Donald Trump can't campaign. She's going to lock him in a courtroom on RICO charges. That's what happens when you control the justice system. The street communists don't hold that kind of power. The elite communists do. All right. Enough of all this nonsense. Let's move on. Emails, the NSA, all kinds of things. You know what? Something good. You ready for something good? Ready to put a smile on your face? I have that for you in just a second. Hang on.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.